In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church, and we're taking a journey through the book of Exodus, and we're discovering some amazing truths about who God is, the sacrificial system, and its application to us in the New Testament. Now, we finished off last time, and I highly recommend listening to our previous recording because we literally read up to a point and stopped. So I'm going to pick up at verse 29 of chapter 29 of the book of Exodus. "And the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him, to be anointed in them and to be consecrated in them. That son who becomes priest in his place shall put them on for 7 days." Now, this is referring to the high priest garments. "When he enters the tabernacle of meeting to minister in the holy place, he shall take the ram of consecration and boil its flesh in the holy place. Then Aaron and his sons shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread that is in the basket by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. They shall eat those things with which the atonement was made to consecrate and to sanctify them, but an outsider shall not eat them because they are holy. And if any of the flesh of the consecration offering or of the bread remains until morning, then you shall burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten because it is holy." Now, there's a lot here on this ram of consecration. So let's review what we've been reading from last time and this time. Now, Aaron and his sons are being installed as priests. Notice from the previous message that first there had to be an atonement made for their sin before they could be installed for service. This combination of two truths, sin must be atoned for before service can be made, is a critical truth in the Old Testament, but it's also critical for the New Testament. You and I cannot serve Christ unless we have been born again, unless we have repented of our sins, placed our faith in Christ, we have been placed in the body of Christ, and our sins have been washed clean. Colossians 2:14 says it this way, that certificate of debt had to be nailed to the cross. Unless your sins have been atoned for, you cannot serve God. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to preaching the gospel, this truth needs to be put out there. When someone says to you, "Oh, I can serve God," you have to ask the question, have your sins been atoned for? And if they say yes, say how? Because if their sins have not been atoned for, then everything they do is tainted with their sin. And there is only one work that God accepts for sin, and that is the work of Christ. What a great truth that we see here in the shadows of the Old Testament, but is made abundantly clear in the New Testament. Now, why the blood? And interestingly, we see the blood being placed on the ear, the thumb, and the right big toe. Now, what's going on here? I believe what the Lord is showing here is that the tip of the right ear represents the listening, the right thumb represents what they're doing, and the right big toe represents their serving. In other words, the direction of their life. Where are they going with God? And the altar is where they sacrifice to God. So by placing the blood on the ear, the thumb, and the right big toe, the whole person is being dedicated to serve God in their listening, in all their actions, in all the directions they go. Now, it's sprinkled on Aaron and his sons, and it means they are made hallow. That word means made uncommon, set apart for God and God alone. Now, blood from the altar and the anointing oil. The anointing oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit, I believe, setting them apart for service to God, which you can't do without the Holy Spirit. They are being set apart to serve the Lord directly. Now, in the New Testament, there is no Levitical priesthood. We are all under the priesthood of Christ. Now, if you're wondering what priesthood is Christ made of, Hebrews tells us it's the order of Melchizedek. Now, we don't have time to dig into that, but the amazing thing about the order of Melchizedek is that is something that God chooses, all right? You can't just inherit the Melchizedek priesthood because of your genealogy like the Aaronic priesthood. No, the Melchizedek priesthood was someone chosen by God directly. And so, Christ was chosen by God, and we get in the Melchizedek priesthood because we're in Christ. It's an amazing truth. Now, we are introduced to three elements, the bread, the cake, and the wafer. These are given to Aaron and his sons and then given back to the altar, but the leftover, Aaron and his sons are able to eat. This is a meal that they have. Now, what do the priests get to keep? Well, they get to keep some of the meat too, the breast and the thigh. So this is essentially a meal of meat and bread, which is kind of fascinating because if you go back to their journey, there was those significant moments of the miracle of the manna and the miracle of the meat that came. Now, Leviticus 10:15 gives us some more insights. The thigh of the heave offering and the breast of the wave offering they shall bring with the offerings of fat made by fire, to offer as a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be yours and your sons with you, by a statute forever, as the Lord commanded. Now, what's the distinction? What's the difference between a wave offering and a heave offering? Some people have tried to say that this illustrates a cross, and that very well may be, but let's get very precise. A wave offering is toward the altar, in other words, given to God, and then brought back to the priest. This is horizontal. In a sense of physics, right? Physically, it's going forward and reverse. Then there's the heave offering, which is raised up or lifted up and then brought down, vertical. Now, again, I'm talking spatially here. But at the end of the day, there's still this interesting combination of a cross symbol in many ways. I don't want to take this too far, but it also is vertical between God and man. And I find that just absolutely fascinating. Now, what's the link? The children of Israel are implied with the priests representing them. Now, it's stressed very clearly that outsiders cannot partake of this. Non-priests cannot partake of this. Only the priests could partake of the sacrificial food and meal. The remains, if there's any leftovers, must be completely burned up. So this consecration ram is a beautiful picture that after atonement is made, service is possible, but someone must be installed. And through this sacrificial consecrated ram, they are now being installed as priests and they can serve God on behalf of Israel. What a beautiful picture. And this pictures Christ as our great high priest, but it also pictures us as, so to speak, the sons of God serving God on behalf of him for not only the church, but for the world as well. Now let's move to the next section, the 7 days of consecration. Exodus 29 verses 35 through 37. Let me read. And the parallel to this is Leviticus chapter 8, 33 through 36. Thus you shall do to Aaron and his sons, according to all that I have commanded you. 7 days you shall consecrate them. And you shall offer a bull every day as a sin offering for atonement. You shall cleanse the altar when you make atonement for it, and you shall anoint it to sanctify it. 7 days you shall make atonement for the altar and sanctify it. And the altar shall be most holy. Whatever touches the altar must be holy. So what's going on here? Well, 7 days represents this waiting period, a ceremony for a new high priest is to be installed. So even though it's not specifically saying, it's implied that we're talking about Aaron, the high priest, be installed here. Now, it's a holy occasion. Leviticus 8:35 gives us this insight. Therefore, you shall stay at the door of the tabernacle of meeting day and night for 7 days and keep the charge of the Lord so that you may not die, for so I have been commanded. The altar is made holy and the priest is made holy. So, God is saying that the significance after the Ram of Atonement, after the Ram of Consecration, there is the 7 days of consecration. With each day, there is a sacrifice, and the altar is made holy. This shows you the solemnness and the seriousness of this installation of the high priest and also the priesthood. Now, let's continue with verse 38. 7 days of consecration. Now, this is what you shall offer on the altar. So we're continuing this idea. 2 lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. 1 lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. With the 1 lamb shall be 1/10 of an ephah of flour mixed with 1/4 of a hin of pressed oil. and 1/4 of the hin of wine as a drink offering. And the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. And you shall offer with it the grain offering and the drink offering as in the morning for a sweet aroma and an offering made by fire to the Lord. Now, this is interesting. We're seeing daily two lamb offerings. And it turns out this offering is not just for the 7 days of consecration, but this continues throughout the year. In fact, this is even done on Passovers. Two lambs of the first year each day continually. That's a lot of sacrifices. Numbers 28:7 gives us a little more insight. And its drink offering shall be 1/4 of a hin for each lamb. In a holy place, you shall pour out the drink to the Lord as an offering. Now, one in the morning and one at twilight. It's the exact same sacrifice in every way. There's a grain offering and there's a drink offering with the sacrifice. So what should we conclude with this? Well, it tells us that during the consecration, we see this process. So in other words, this daily sacrifice twice a day is a reminder that the priest, the high priest and the sons of Levi, the other priests, are continually consecrated. It's a daily thing. It's a daily setting apart, denying themselves in service to God. We never stop at New Testament church consecrating ourselves. This is a picture of our sanctification. Every day we must be setting apart our life in service to God. We should be growing in the knowledge of God. We should be growing in our sanctification and our Christ-likeness. It never stops. And it also shows us that the blood of the Lamb is applied every day. This gives us confidence that we can stand before God because He's washing us clean. The blood of the Lamb makes us clean. Now, we need to confess our sins. We need to apply that in our life, walking obediently, but we can have the confidence that we can be in service when we are obedient. Summary and conclusion comes at the last few verses here, 42 through 46. Let me read those. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak with you. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. So I will consecrate the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. I will also consecrate both Aaron and his sons to minister to me as priests. And I will dwell among the children of Israel, and I will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, and I may dwell among them, and I am the Lord their God. Now, we're out of time. We're going to come back here. But I want to make sure I say two things before we depart. First, notice the future tense, I will. That's because Moses is right now getting the instructions in chapters 35 through 40, then this will all take place. But second, let's understand, when God's people are sanctified, He can be in their presence. When sin is properly dealt with, there can be fellowship. There can be intimacy. And so I'm looking forward to our next time together when we explore the implications of all this atonement for sin. Well, until next time, may you set apart yourself in service to God and His people by daily confessing your sins and walking in obedience, yielding to the Spirit's power.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.